you something.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Power Your Life. And I'm really, really excited. Today is a wonderful day and a wonderful day to have a very special guest. And before that, I just want to extend season greetings to everyone out there, and also special prayers to Connecticut and Newtown. And really, there's been a petition out there sending condolences. And so people, be conscious of that, because in the midst of this season, what I'm finding out from all the tragedy is that there are people who are paying back and making a difference and extending random acts of kindness. And I think that's really what this holiday season is all about. And not just the holiday season, but that's about something that we can do every day. So think about that. Send your love out across the world and it will come back to you. And talking about love, many of us have pets. And they're really not just pets. They are part of our families. And oftentimes I know I have a cat, and my cat is like the be-all and end-all and such a special being. And oftentimes raising animals are not always easy. Well, today we're going to talk about a really unusual, incredible dog that has done so much for so many people. And we're also going to speak to the dog's owner and a wonderful person, Charmaine Hammond, who's an international transformational speaker. She's a best-selling and award-winning author and also a radio host. And she helps people live inspired, resilient lives. And she's also a leading trainer in corporate North America, helping to transform workplaces. Charmaine is also an award-winning and best-selling author of On Toby's Terms, Toby the Pet Therapy Dog and His Hospital Friends, and Bounce Forward. She's been published in Chicken Soup for the Soul, What I Learned from the Dog, and her book, On Toby's Terms, is in development to become a major motion picture and won gold in the Reader's Favorite Award. Charmaine is also co-author of the hot new book, GPS, Your Best Life, Charting Your Destination and Getting There in Style. She's been featured on CBS, CTV, Global TV, Alberta Prime Time News, many major newspapers, including Metro News, National Canada, U.S., and New York. And she's also been in various magazines, and she hosts not just one, folks, but three radio shows. And it's really my pleasure to introduce you to Charmaine. How are you, Charmaine?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. And I think your book and the upcoming movie really strikes a chord in people's lives. But it's not just about that. I mean, you're a great writer, but it's also about this tremendous special animal that you raised. And from reading the book, I have it right in front of me right now, On Toby's Terms, it wasn't an easy job to raise Toby. So let's talk a little bit about that, because firstly, how did it all start? How did you get Toby? How did that journey begin?
Well, my husband Christopher and I have had a dog, Dukes, in our life for 11 years. And after Dukes passed away, We waited a couple of years until we were ready to bring a new furry friend into our family. And then my husband, Chris, was actually on the internet one day and saw this beautiful picture of a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, sort of like looks like a chocolate lab, and this dog looked like he was smiling from ear to ear. I looked at the picture on the internet and I said, love. So I actually had an internet love affair with this dog, and we applied for his adoption. He was at a local rescue organization, and we applied for the adoption, and second time around, we got to be Toby's forever family. He was 5 years old at the time we brought him home.
And that's not easy usually. Oftentimes animals, like people, get into habits, and they have a certain degree of training or non-training. So what were some of the antics or challenges that you had raising Toby starting at five?
Well, you're so right. He came with his own set of baggage. But interestingly enough, the baggage didn't appear until about 6 months after Toby was in our family. He was perfect, really, for the first 6 months. And then we come home from work. Actually, my husband came home from work, couldn't get in the house. There was something blocking the front door. And the house, when he finally came in, through the dog door, I might add, which I'm sure was a pretty sight, when he came in, the house was destroyed. Every room had been Toby destroyed. And basically what happened is that's when we discovered that this dog had issues. He had baggage that we needed to get some help for.
So what happened? How did you actually get Toby to be from this, I'll use the word destructive, because he kind of made a mess, and that wasn't the first time, according to a lot of the episodes and adventures that are within your book on Toby's terms. But what happened to change Toby and to make him such an incredible dog to so many people?
Well, we actually tried everything we knew within our pet parent skills, but I mean, neither of us are dog trainers, so we tried everything we knew, and everything we tried with Dukes, and nothing was working. We still had destruction. Toby was emptying closets and breaking toilet tank lids on a weekly basis, and so we thought, we've got to bring in the reinforcements, we've got to bring in the experts, and our veterinarian actually suggested that we contact a lady named Maggie. And she's a dog trainer and a dog behaviorist. And we contacted Maggie. She came into the house. And I'll tell you, from the moment she stepped into our home to assess Toby and help us, that's when everything started to fall into place and everything started to change in a great way for Christopher and I, but really for Toby, because she discovered a few things about Toby. One of them was that he had separation anxiety. And the second was she felt that Toby was a dog who needed a job. He was a dog who needed a purpose.
That's pretty amazing. And firstly, what's also amazing, Charmaine, is that so many people, after adopting a dog or having a dog that exhibits some destructive behavior, they just give up and decide this dog is hopeless, and we're going to send him back to the pound or whatever. And yet you guys persevered. And to really, to the benefit of, like I said, so many people, which we'll get to in a moment. So how did she figure out that he had separation anxiety and he needed a purpose?
Well, we started sharing all the times of destruction, and she quickly pinpointed that most of those happened when we were not home. Even if we would go to the store for 10 minutes, we might come home and find all of the shoes that we own in the house piled up in the floor in the front foyer. And so she discovered that that he seemed to struggle when we weren't home. Interestingly enough, Toby's first family loved him very much. They were a senior citizen couple, but they also loved Toby with food. So when he went into foster care before we brought him home, he was 40 pounds overweight, and he was actually on Prozac, which I didn't even know they prescribed for dogs, but Prozac, an antidepressant, and an anti-anxiety pill. So Maggie thought to herself as well that maybe Toby hadn't spent a lot of time alone, that he had always been with people. And so she also noticed because there was a noise that happened when she was visiting us that Toby got very alarmed and was pacing and was very nervous. So the other thought that she had was that he was very distracted and concerned about noises that he would hear outside, like the garbage truck beeping up, backing up and making the beeping sound. So by watching his behavior and then us sharing the stories of what had happened since Toby came into our family, she was able to determine that was what was going on for him. And the real reason was she watched how attentive Toby was to Christopher and I. He would eat his food and always come back to check on us and check on his toys all around the house. And that's why she thought that he needed a job. He needed some work.
And he was such a people person, too. So how did you find the right job for Toby?
Oh, well, that's kind of a funny story, because she actually suggested that Toby be a therapy dog. And I'll be honest, I broke out laughing, thinking, here's a dog who wrecks our rooms, destroys our house, has broken 6 toilet tank lids, and we're going to bring him in a hospital where people are not well. And I had this vision of Toby racing through the hallway, you know, pulling someone on their wheelchair or an oxygen tank behind him and just creating disaster. And Maggie quickly alleviated my fears, and she said that I believe, Charmaine, that Toby in the right environment will go on to change lives. And he's got the temperament to do this work. So we researched animal-assisted therapy programs. We took him to one and went in for the testing, and he aced every single test, and then at the end they failed him. They failed him because of his bark, and they thought that his bark would alarm people. And I was devastated. I thought I'd let this dog down in some way, and we persisted, found another organization, Chimo is the name of it, and Chimo did the same tests. He passed with flying colors, and they said, we're just going to find Toby a job where his bark is an asset instead of a problem, and that's what they did.
What kind of test do they put the dog through to find out if he really could be a therapy dog, Charmaine?
Oh, the tests were so interesting. Many of the tests were really aimed at making sure that the dog and its and the dog's owner we're really together as a team, because the therapy team really is the dog, or if there's cats or rabbits, there's other animals that do animal-assisted therapy. But they've got to be a team, and that animal has to be able to follow direction and take leadership from the human. So there was a lot of obedience-type testing. And then they got into the fun testing. One of them was they had a laundry basket full of toys, tennis, Kong, stuffed animals, like everything Toby loves. And they were having us walk around a gym, and the goal was that Toby had to be able to walk past these distractions and still follow my direction. And it was hilarious. He didn't take his eyes off them. I mean, he walked with his head twisted nearly all the way around once we got past them. But he followed my direction, and he didn't go after the toys. So they were really impressed that he could stay focused on the leadership. And the second time around, he actually ignored the toy basket, which was phenomenal. The most interesting test was the noises. So here's a dog that's terrified of my husband using a drill for home renovations or a garbage truck backing up, and the trainers dropped a metal or an aluminum cookie sheet on the concrete floor, so it made that really twangy, kind of an unusual sound that most dogs hadn't heard. And he just looked at the cookie sheet, looked at me, looked at the cookie sheet, kind of shook his head like as if he was saying, what is that? Looked at me, tail wagging, and off we continued walking. So in that environment, he wasn't all alarmed by noises that were scaring him previously. So that's when I kind of figured out, oh, this is this dog's purpose. This is what he's meant to be in an environment.
I think that's so wonderful, too. My cat initially was afraid of the blender. She's afraid of noises, too. But over time, she connect, and so the minute the blender was on, she would just run and get out of the way as quickly as she can. Well, now when she's eating, the blender could be on and she's there and she's just in heaven. But I don't think she could ever be a cat that that can help other people like Toby. So the book is about lessons and love and life from a dog. So what kinds of lessons Has Toby in particular taught you and your husband that you would like to share with our listening audience today?
Well, you know, I love that quote, the teacher appears when the student is ready. And I had no idea that I was ready to be a student in life. And the biggest lesson that Toby taught me, the overall lesson, was how to be a better human being. And the way that he did that is one of the lessons I love about Toby is he taught me about patience. You know, I wanted his behavior to change so quickly, and I just wanted everything to be fine. And the more that I pushed that, the slower the progress was. So when I just kind of let go of that expectation and trusted that we're just all going to get through this together, his behavior changed so quickly. But he also taught me about persistence, and that was a really powerful lesson because with Toby, we had a lot of training to do, and we really had to build that trust bond between him and Chris and I. And he taught me to just persist, to keep at it. And I discovered in life that a lot of times as humans, we give up almost at the finish line. We're almost to our goal. And so he taught me about persistence. He taught me about trust and patience. He taught me to stop being a perfectionist. I didn't even know I was one, but when we brought Toby home and he was wrecking our house all the time, I started to have this all-or-nothing thinking. Things were either good or bad or positive or negative, and I found that I was really concrete in my thinking, and I had some pretty perfectionist expectations. And as soon as I let go of those, it was like Toby relaxed into being the dog that he really needed to be.
You know, those lessons are so very important because if you didn't persevere and if you were just into that perfectionist mode, as you mentioned, so many of us are, whether it's in our personal relationships or in our work or in our leadership skills, we would overlook the abilities and overlook moving forward. And basically, he would not have had the opportunity and other people would not have benefited from all that he has to offer. Now, I'm not going to give away everything in the book, but there's a chapter called Terror in the Park. Can you share, without sharing everything, can you share something about that? Because I think that's just very powerful.
Oh, I'm really glad you raised that question because we had learnings all the time with Toby, and the Terror in the Park chapter is about a time we took Toby to a dog park. He loved to go to dog parks, and he would always run in the forest part of the park and come out with a tree. It was really, literally, sometimes it was a massive tree branch that you could never throw to play fetch. And one time he came out with a pretty solid piece of wood. It was a branch of a tree, and we were playing fetch with him. And the stick, when we threw it, actually lodged into the ground on kind of a weird angle. And Toby ran into the stick, and it impaled him in his throat and created a terrifying moment because Toby's life at one point was on the line because of this. It was a very, very serious accident. And the reason I'm so glad you asked me to share that story is because as a pet owner, I never knew that that could happen. You know, I never knew that a really thick tree branch could sort of splinter and cause a dog harm. The great news is that we had a wonderful vet who took care of Toby immediately, and just like everything in Toby's life, miracles happened. And so Toby actually healed from the accident without needing surgery, which really surprised everyone, including the vet. But that was a powerful lesson for Chris and I. And so from that day forward, the only toys that Toby played with were toys like the Kong or toys that couldn't be destroyed and couldn't cause any form of injury. So we kind of went on a mission to share this very, according to the veterinarians, a very common injury to dogs.
Well, I think that's important to our listeners who have dogs, even cats, because sometimes we forget about the danger. There are so many toys for children that are tested in terms of whether they're safe, but I don't know that we do the same kind of vigilance with dog toys or whatever. So I think that's really important, and I think what you did sort of communicating the message to dog owners is really profound. Let's get to Toby's job, because his job, I just love what he did for people, and I don't want to kind of steal your thunder here. So tell us how he got involved to really change lives and influence so many people in such a heartwarming and profound way, Charmaine.
Oh, this was one of my most treasured moments with Toby, is every Wednesday he volunteered at a mental health facility in the community that we lived in. So Wednesdays were really Toby's day. And he had a little red vest that said animal-assisted therapy dog and a smart little bandana that matched the vest, and we'd go in every Wednesday to this hospital. And his job there was to be part of the recreation program, so to get people out of bed and get them socializing on the hospital unit and better yet, get them outside enjoying some fresh air and physical activity. And what we very quickly noticed, in fact, the very first day of work, Toby was nervous. I mean, I could see that in his demeanor. He's in a new environment with new people. But the minute the door opened to the unit, it was almost like Toby knew what he was there to do. And his confidence, his body language changed. He was confident. He let out two huge barks as if he's saying, I'm here. I've arrived. And then he went around the unit giving people what they needed. So the people that were nervous of a big dog with a big booming bark, he respected their need for privacy and distance, so he didn't go too close to them, and he avoided eye contact with them. And then there were some people, I think, that he knew just wanted to snuggle and cuddle with them, and he went immediately to those people, put his head on their lap, and just kind of snuggled right in. And that's how his job started, and he did that for 4.5 years. He got people socializing, connecting with each other, and even going outside for physical activity to take him for walks and play fetch.
How did his bark, because initially you said that he failed that first test in that testing situation with mm-hmm. his bark. How did his bark help people in the end?
Well, it was so funny. One of the staff there said that on Wednesdays the alarm clock happened at 5 to 1, which was Toby's bark. So it was really interesting. We had an amazing team of nurses and a physician and occupational health therapists and life skills coordinators. They were all part of the team that Toby was a part of. And so they really embraced Toby's bark. They noticed immediately that when Toby arrived on the unit and let out this big booming bark that echoed off the cement walls, that the patients quickly started leaving the room. Patients who normally didn't socialize in the unit with other people came out of the room to see Toby. So they actually quite liked the bark. And you know, the lady from Chemo, when she was assessing Toby, she was absolutely right. They just found a place for Toby where his deficit to one organization became strength to another.
So his bark was like the toll, the bell that said, okay, everybody, time to congregate, time to come together, time to come out of your solitude and your quietude into joining activity. That's a great story.
Absolutely.
Charmaine. That's wonderful. Can you tell us about a special story about one of the patients, one of the people in the hospital that he connected with and really made a difference in that person's life?
I can. There's so many stories. And the one that I just love to share with a patient, she'd been in the mental health facility for quite some time, a very quiet lady and very timid, actually. And the staff were working with her on her self-confidence. And she was often in a position where other patients would ask her for cigarettes or money or to borrow her belongings, and they wouldn't give them back. And she would never confront them. And she would just be really passive about it. And when she would speak to Toby outside, so we've got all this noise and, you know, people being excited, when she'd speak to Toby, it was almost a whisper. So he ignored her. He didn't hear her. And he didn't understand her nonverbal communication. So we worked with this patient to be more assertive with Toby. Not aggressive, but just more assertive in her nonverbal language, so that if she wanted Toby to come to her, she would pat her leg and she would say, Toby, come, in a really assertive, strong voice. And immediately, the first time she did that, of course, Toby dropped the toy he was playing with and he beelined right over to her and sat at her feet. And so her eyes just kind of bugged out. She was so excited that Toby had listened. And so we kept working with this patient, letting her learn assertiveness skills that she practiced with Toby. And in a fairly short time, the staff noticed that on the unit, she was learning to say no to people. And that was huge progress and amazing to see that someone could learn that from a dog.
Well, that's an incredible story. So we're talking about how Toby, changed people's lives. How did Toby change from this experience of helping people? What did you notice about him in terms of being just about him and his changes in his behavior at home or in other places other than the hospital?
Well, there were so many changes after Toby got the job, and one of the changes was we very quickly saw a reduction in house destruction episodes. So we weren't replacing toilet tanks by the box anymore. We weren't having to buy them in bulk. And he was more confident. So when we would go to the store for 25 minutes and leave him at home, which was part of our training practice that Maggie taught us, we would come home and there wouldn't be destruction. And so the destructive episodes were spanned out over a way longer period of time. He did destroy things still, but there seemed to be a reason for it. So it wasn't random like it used to be. But the other thing that happened is we saw his confidence build. When we first brought Toby into our family, he didn't like to be more than 3 feet away from Christopher and I. We actually called him our shadow. And once he was working at the hospital, he seemed to rely on us less for his confidence. So we would take him to the dog park, and he might be 20 feet ahead of us or even 25 feet. And he would go swimming in the lake and not have to be right beside us. So that was beautiful to see his own transformation happen. Plus, we weren't spending money on renovating our house as much anymore either.
And that's important, too, because, again, so many people decide, well, this dog is costing us an arm and a leg. We're just going to get rid of the dog. And that what that really does is it also makes that dog's life so much worse, I believe. So
yes.
There's in the book, there's a very terrifying, upset boat accident, that sailboat, really. What happened to shift your relationship with Toby? And tell us in some detail what went on in this accident.
Well, the story about the sailboat accident actually tells a story that happened many years before we adopted Toby. My husband, Christopher, and I, we weren't married at the time. We went out for a sailing day, and we have a catamaran, which is one of those boats with the two pontoons and the trampoline, sort of the mesh that you sit on between the two pontoons. And we went out on the lake, and it was a beautiful day, but really windy. And we were having so much fun, but the wind was getting pretty fierce, and the boat actually flipped, which is not typically a scary thing for people who have catamaran sailed before, but it was actually my first time flipping the boat. I was absolutely fear-stricken. And so Christopher said, we're just going to right the boat, which means we'll flip the boat up the right way and we'll get back on it and sail home. And that's exactly what we did. We flipped the boat back up, and I tried to get on the boat and couldn't. And just as Chris came over to give me a little push-up on the boat took off with me dragging behind it. And Chris swam as fast as he could to catch me or grab my leg, the boat, something. But we were gone. And what happened is we became separated in the lake. Now, this lake was quite a huge lake. We were about 4 miles off one shore and 7 off the other. And so basically, I was in the lake all by myself. Chris was somewhere else. I couldn't see him. I was hanging on for dear life to this boat. And then at some point, the boat and I became separated. And I knew we were really in trouble then. And so the short story of what happened is I swam in circles, I think, to be quite honest. And Chris followed my cries for help, and he swam to me, which was across the lake, instead of swimming to shore. And so we made the first of a number of critical decisions, which was to swim back to shore. And we were 4.5 hours in that lake without wetsuits. And at one point, which is, longer than any person we've ever heard that survived that. And it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. And at one point, Chris was so weak and becoming so hypothermic that he said I needed to leave him. And you can just imagine what that's like, hearing that from the person that you love. But he said, you know, Charmaine, you've still got strength. You just need to keep swimming and get help. And I think he saw the terror in my eyes. And so what he said next actually changed our life. He said, when you go back to shore and when you get help and when I get back on shore, we've got a wedding to plan. And he said it was like I renewed my energy. I turned into this Olympic swimmer and kind of raced towards the promise of a wedding ring. But what it did was it renewed my hope and my faith and that we could get through this. And we were rescued. And the great news is we were married 1 year later. We've now been married for 16 wonderful years. And that story, though, has had such a profound impact on our life. It became a keynote. I'm a professional speaker, so that story has helped change thousands and thousands of lives based on how I use that in a teaching method in our presentations. But it also helped us with Toby many, many years later because we were ready to give up. I do have to say that, Joanne. There was a point where Toby's behavior was house destruction every day, and everything we tried wasn't working. And we thought, maybe Toby needs another family. Maybe we're not the family. And then Chris and I talked about it, and we basically decided that we didn't give up on ourselves and on love and life that day in the lake. So we were not giving up on this dog. We were in. We were going to get to the other side of the lake with Toby, so to speak. And when we made that decision of commitment to him, everything changed as well.
You know, it's not just about hope and faith, and hope and faith, Charmaine, are so powerful no matter what situation you're in, whether you're in a personal tragedy or a work tragedy or just a work challenge or getting so close to a goal like you had mentioned earlier and not giving up. And so that sense of hope and faith can really move you forward. But you're also talking about commitment, which is very, very powerful to staying true to a goal or steadfast to a belief or, in this case, steadfast to a dog and to recognizing that you're not going to give this dog away, and also to you and Chris and staying so connected to one another and deciding that no matter what, you're going to make it work and despite the incredible odds. And, you know, so many people have benefited from that hope, that faith, and that commitment that you've given to yourselves and also to Toby, because you also do so much for pet and children organizations and charities and events, and we're running out of time, but tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. We've done a number of fundraising adventures for children's groups, for animal rescue and shelter organizations. We've assisted them with their fundraising. We donate a portion of the book sales, actually, to a number of different charities, and we often go in and support them at their events. And Toby used to go and do what we call potographing. So I would autograph the book, and Toby would potograph it. We had a special stamp. There's actually a video on Toby's YouTube channel, but he would press down on the spring-loaded stamp, and of course when he let go of the stamp, it would leave a stamp of his paw print, and then he'd let out two barks, and then sometimes actually he would hang on to the book. He wouldn't give the book to the person who bought it. He would just lay on it. So, I mean, he had a great time at these kind of events, and so that's some of the ways that we've supported these organizations.
I think that's wonderful, and Toby seemed to have such a great time too in helping and supporting them as well. Now, let's get to this incredible motion picture that I don't know where you are in the process, but I know I'm going to see it because I love these kinds of movies, and Toby is such an incredible dog. So give us a little bit of information about where we are in this process.
Well, just before the book went to print, actually, our publisher sent the book out to some celebrities and some producers, and she was looking for an endorsement, like a quote to put on the cover of the book. And Impact Motion Pictures out of California read the book, loved it, and said, we want to bring this book to film. So they purchased the options to make the book into a movie. They've got the screenplay done. It's phenomenal. And they've started to explore talent and filming locations. So they're moving into kind of the pre-production, and we just can't wait for it to happen. I mean, I never thought any of this would happen. I didn't even plan on writing a book. So that was another way Toby changed our life. He made me into an author, and now we're going to have a movie about him and our life.
When is the movie coming out, do you know?
We don't have a release date yet. They haven't started filming yet, but we're really hoping it's going to be a 2013 movie, and we'll get to share Toby's story with the world.
That would be fantastic. Well, like I said, I want to see it. I definitely will see it. Now, just
thank you.
I know you have so much wisdom given the challenges and the hopes and the commitment that you made to Toby, but what kind of tips can you give us, just two tips that can help other pet owners who have a Toby rather than send Toby away or decide to give up? What would help them?
I think the one tip would be to access some of the resources that are available in your community. So if you have adopted your pet, often the shelters and rescue organizations have trainers and behaviorists and books and videos that you can access for no charge because they're so committed to keeping the dog placed in the family that adopted them. So shelters and rescue organizations are great resource, trainers, behaviorists, and veterinarians. And there's a lot of resources in the community. The other tip I would offer is taking your dog to places like dog parks or doggy daycares where they get the opportunity to socialize and play with other dogs and to be with other people. And so Toby used to love to go to a place called Canine Awareness Center. It was a doggy treadmill business. So there was all these little dogs that would go jogging on the treadmill, and he had a great time there. So it's kind of finding that activity that helps your dog burn off some of the energy and also, of course, improve their physical health. And so all communities have different kinds of programs available like that.
Yeah, and lots of communities have that, so it's important for people to check out. Charmaine, we could do this because I love pets and animals, and I love this story and how Toby has really touched and inspired so many lives and so many people, but so have you. So, and you do so much more than just write and just write books about Toby. So tell people how they can get a hold of you and also find out about Toby's blog and all of that information, because I think people would love to get more information.
Oh, thank you for that. So people can find out about Toby, his story, his books, the movie on his website, Yes, Our Dog. And there's a website for him, which is called On Toby's Terms, just like the book, ontobysterms. ontobysterms.com. And if people are looking to find out more about me or the work that I do corporately or the speaking engagements that I do, they can visit me at hammondgroup.biz, and that's hammondgroup.biz, which is biz. And we're on Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube, so there's lots of ways people can stay in contact.
Well, Charmaine, I love the book. I can't wait till the movie comes out and what you and Toby have done together to really alter people's lives and help them in so many wonderful ways is just incredible. So it's a tribute to you as well as to Toby. And you've been a great guest. So thank you so much for your time and for your energy and for your appreciation of Toby, because without that, so many lives would not have been changed.
Oh, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you, the opportunity to let me do what I'm passionate about and share Toby's story. Thank you for that.
Thank you, and have a blessed holiday.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks. And, folks, we're not going to meet next week, but in January, on 2nd, 2013, we're going to talk about writing. And we have Anne McIndoo, who is an author's coach, and she's going to talk about writing a book you want to write. And she's going to help people who want to get their books out and just really look about getting your book out from your manuscript to actually to publishing. And last week I mentioned that we're kind of in the threshold. 2012 was just the opening. 2012 is just the opening, and 12-12 last week was just the opening to this tremendous experience. And no, we're not going to have the end of the world as so many people fear, but stay tuned to 12-21 is going to be really incredible and an opportunity to share love and connectiveness to so many people. So make sure that you're shining your light very, very brightly. And those people who want to get a hold of me, go to docwhite.org for many free articles and upcoming events. And I'm going to be on Charmaine's show too, so that's going to be very important in January. Stay tuned for that, because I'm going to love that. And there's something, I was talking to Charmaine very early beforehand, and it's something that I think, in addition to On Toby's Terms, this is a book that I found the other day. It's really for children, but my sense is that this is a book that every person in the world should have in their library, because it can just really rekindle a sense of self-love. And I'm just going to read a really quick passage and promise I'm not going to be teary-eyed and cry like I have every time I read it. It's called On the Night You Were Born by Nancy Tillman. And it begins, it's beautiful, it begins, on the night you were born, the moon smiled with such wonder that the stars peeked in to see you, and the night wind whispered, life will never be the same, because there had never been anyone like you ever in the world. So enchanted with you were the wind and the rain that they whispered the sound of your wonderful name. And the book goes on and on and on, and really gives people a sense of self-love and self-appreciation. So it's a time of giving. And again, that's a wonderful book in addition to giving this book On Toby's Terms to so many people for the holidays. So have a blessed holiday. Remember that there are so many wonderful ways to give, and random acts of kindness are just wonderful to offset all of the craziness and fear and violence that's afoot. And it's also a way of really sharing our love and our humanity for ourselves and for one another and for the planet. This is Dr. Joanne White. Think of a way today that you can help other people. But not only that, think of something special about you that makes you different than anybody else in the world. Have a blessed day, and thank you for being here with us.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.